Pizza. How you doing, everybody? It's time for another threesome podcast with Lex and Stacy. How you doing, my dear?
I am fine. How are you, Lexi Poo?
Lexi Poo is good because Lexi Poo has stuff to rap with you about. We're gonna get in some stars, some music, some politics, some off-kilter relationships.
Nuh-uh.
All kinds of stuff to throw down with here. So the one thing that kind of caught my eye when I was looking over some news a week or two ago, I wanted to talk to you about it but didn't get to it, but they're still together, so it's relevant. What do you think about the idea of walking down the street and seeing Neil Young and Daryl Hannah hanging out together?
Oh, my God. Is that what... Really?
Yeah.
Is that why he got divorced?
I think so. I think
so. Now, is she still wearing the eye patch?
No. But I was pretty smoking hot.
I did not realize. I was probably, I don't know how far into the Kill Bill movies before I realized, oh my God, that's Daryl Hannah.
Yeah.
Does not look like Splash at all.
Two of my favorite blondes are Uma Thurman and Daryl Hannah. Because they're just kind of quirky and fucked up. You know, like most blondes.
Yeah.
And even though in my later years I've started gravitating more to brunettes for some reason.
Suck up.
She is the reason I switched.
I know.
But I've always loved them from afar. But, you know, when you're in a 20-year marriage, that's all you can do. Until you don't.
That's deep.
Yeah, thank you. And Daryl Hannah, I always thought was pretty strange and pretty cool. Although Terry tried to ruin it for me numerous times by saying that she did something weird at the radio station. I can't remember what it was like. Peter
didn't
Pan.
She come in with Jackson Brown and acted like he abused her? Didn't she like duck every time he moved and stuff?
It was something like that, or she urinated in her pants, or she was going to do blow all the time, or it was something along those lines, you know. And
so the urination, I'd have a problem with.
Yeah, I don't care about that. You know, it's like wipe it off and let's get back to business.
No, I thought she had, like, I don't know, gone and sat in a corner on the floor or something and was just hiding.
Yeah. But she was with Jackson.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm eating something here. Just like being on the air. But yeah, a source from Us Weekly said the couple caused a buzz when they were photographed kissing after grabbing a bite to eat in a Westlake, California diner on Tuesday, September 9th. It says she's a huge Neil fan. So
that's what he's named his penis.
So that's right. And there's a little bit of groupie action going on here. He was married to Peggy Young for 36 years. And he and her were frequent collaborators, and she inspired many of Neil Young's songs, including Such a Woman, Once an Angel, and Unknown Legend.
And Cinnamon Girl.
None of those songs I remember.
No.
Cinnamon Girl I do, but not the three they...
It has to be groupie action because, you know, he, along with Rick Ocasek and Peter Wolf and Tom Petty. are not the prettiest of rock stars. No. Oh, Steven Tyler.
Right.
Let's not forget her.
Yeah. And no, they aren't pretty at all. Although Peter Wolf, I kind of get. He's just a cool motherfucker.
He is. Yeah, I liked him. Yeah, he was very nice to me.
You got to leave him out of the equation because he's, I don't want to use the term ugly. He's not a good looking dude per se, but I see him as a dude with it going on. I could see why chicks would be attracted to him because he's just kind of just that rocker badass. I do what the fuck I want type of guy, you know, that chicks love. Little danger right. boy type guy. Yeah, so I totally.
And he did, you know, when I met him, he took the time to like remember, like, because I saw him then the next day and we were on the air together. And, you know, he totally talked about the night before and stuff, you know. So, yeah, I always appreciated that about him, that he took the time to remember things, you know.
Yeah.
He had a callback.
In an era where they literally had every right to say they didn't remember things because everybody was fucked up all the time.
Right.
But, yeah, Neil 68, she is 53. They are a thing now. What do you think about that?
You know, I've seen Neil a couple times. I guess I wouldn't call myself a fan, but then ultimately I am because like I've got him on my phone, you know, I've got Neil Young songs. So I guess I am. I just don't ever think about Neil. And as I said, I've seen him at least twice, I think. You know, good. I feel bad. I don't know. I hope he's happy and I hope she doesn't kill him with, you know, the sex.
Yeah. I mean, they both are hardcore political activists. She, of course, was attracted to Jackson Browne, and likewise for that very reason. You know, Jackson, of course, was heavily involved in the Musicians United for Solar Energy or whatever the hell it was, or Safe Energy, or you know, and
because there's nothing more exciting than musicians and solar energy.
Yeah. Or Safe Energy. I don't know what the fuck it was. You know, I wasn't that at the time engaged in any of that stuff. All I know is they did one of those tribute albums and all the music sucked on it. So that's pretty much what I came away with. It's like, hey, if you're going to help out the cause, how about kicking some ass? Don't give me some shitty 14th song off your record that, you know.
Exactly. I was going to say, I always assume any of those types of albums are like the songs that didn't make it on some other album.
Oh, you shouldn't only assume. Write it down. It's, you know, the record business is so smarmy. You know, they just think they're getting away with everything. And once you've bought your first couple tribute albums, you pretty much, unless you're a complete fucking idiot, know you're getting garbage.
Yes. Now, the Carpenters tribute album was good.
Yeah.
I liked that one a lot. And then there was the X-Files one, Songs in the Key of X, which gave us Down in the Park from the Foo Fighters.
That's okay because that's music that's already written. You know, and especially in the Carpenters case, you know, it's like these are high quality Burt Bacharach songs that anybody can do anything with because the formula for them is so unbreakable that even if
old girl Japanese band,
even if
I'm on top of the word.
Yeah. Even if you turn it into a fucking punk song, it's so the foundation of the song is so strong it works. So I would rather have that than some piece of trash that you wrote, you know, at 2 a.m. because you needed an extra song before you went in the studio the next day. And it ends up getting thrown out anyway.
Yes.
I don't want your garbage. We know you're capable of more. So if you're going to save the planet, sit down and write a fucking good song.
That's like, you know, with the, oh my God, we're going to release another Michael Jackson album and it's unheard stuff, you know? And it's like, there's a reason why it's unheard.
Yeah.
You know, and unless you are truly just a diehard fan that just wants to hear it because of that reason, you know, it, I don't know. But for me, as someone who's not a fan, I will be shocked if there is any music on there that really makes me happy.
It's like, do we need another Jimi Hendrix box set that's got a new song on it? But really, it's not a new song. It's a couple of licks, you know, that Jimmy played, and then they get somebody to put a, you know, use it as a sample, and then they use some famous rapper or something to put it behind a song, and there's your new Jimi Hendrix record.
Right.
No, he's dead. He's not making any more. And I don't
want... Did you know that he was a chronic masturbator?
Yeah. I hate to tell you this. We all are.
Well, but he actually kept getting busted for it, like when he was in the military. That was one of the reasons why he was asked to leave the military.
Yeah. But at that age, which I think is around 20 to 22, I was jerking off all over the place. I just didn't get caught.
I was going to say, you know, but you didn't get caught. That's the point. Yeah. There was still mystery in what you were doing, at least for everyone else.
But boy, if I just, you know, when I was doing overnights at Rock 105, there's gallons of my stuff in the sewage system.
Was that still at Hogan Road?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's just my mind right now. I'm just thinking about that board and the floor underneath it and stuff, you know.
Yeah, just realize, did you ever sit at that board?
Yeah.
Well, you had an ass in your face. If you did.
Well, I knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, I got some, I had some fun times in that place. So, it was all good.
There was Lexi stuff all over it. Probably everyone else too. It makes you think.
I mean, dudes are bad at that age. It's crazy. You know, you're too young to have any game to dump this, to find a chick to dump this stuff in. You know, and then when you get old enough to have the game to do it, you know, it's like. It's gone. So cruel. You know, it's like you all, you know, get sexually revved up when your best days are behind you.
Yeah. You're very true.
You know, how fucking cruel is that?
We finally don't give a crap, and it's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievably cruel how, you know, God is.
I know.
But this presents opportunity for you to explain the email you sent me. So let's go ahead and get into that, shall we?
Yes, and I actually brought the story up so I could read to you. There is out in Seattle a mega church, Mars Hill. Have you heard of this?
Mm-mm.
I haven't really either. I try to avoid most religious things, but it's a church. And I guess for at least a decade, you know, the pastor, the head guy, Mark Driscoll is his name, has been building this. And there's many branches, it sounds like, kind of up and down the West Coast. And it doesn't really sound culty, you know, just churchy.
Yeah.
And this Mark Driscoll guy has been coming under fire. He's actually now stepping down because he's kind of ruining the church. And there's been claims of, you know, of course, misusing church funds, stuff like that. Because once you get, like, churches that are so big and so rich, of course, this stuff starts happening.
Yeah.
But the guy and his teachings, which I guess is very Christian, you know, but then there's his own slant to it. He has always kind of taken that women are to be submissive to their husbands and such, that women are a secondary role, you know, and it's all about the men. And there has been writings of his that have come to light recently. And I've got it right here. He wrote this on a church message board back like in the early 2000s or something. And it says, this is him writing this. The first thing to know about your penis. No, right there. There you go. Good Christian church chat there. The first thing to know about your penis is that despite the way it may seem, it is not your penis. Ultimately, God created you and it is his penis. You are simply borrowing it for a while.
Okay.
Then he goes on to say, while his penis, and of course he capitalizes H for his. While his penis is on loan, you must admit that it's sort of just hanging out there and is very lonely, as if it needed a home. Sort of like a man wandering the streets looking for a house to live in. Did you know that your penis wanders, Lex?
Mm-mm.
Apparently it does, and it does it in God's name.
It's never now, left my side.
Now, it says, knowing that his penis, again with a capital H, his penis would need a home, God created a woman to be your wife, and when you marry her and look down, you'll notice that your wife is shaped differently than you and makes a very nice home, a home for your penis. We are penis homes.
You are.
Yes.
And that's a good thing.
We are here to house your penis, to take care of it and protect it.
So he doesn't want us putting God's penis in another dude's ass because that's not the right house for it.
That is actually the next paragraph. It's the last paragraph that says, though you may believe your hand is shaped like a home, it is not. And though women other than your wife may look like a home, to rest there would be breaking into another man's home. And if you look at a man, it is quite obvious what a homeless man does not need is another man without a home.
Oh, my God.
So, yes. What good Christian folk.
Oh,
and the sad thing is there are people, I'm sure, that sit there and go, yeah. Yeah, man. I'm going to go fuck my wife now because God wants it that way.
That's right. And there's fucking dumbass women that go, I got to do that for my husband. You know, I have to give him a home.
Which makes, of course, our tits the penis garage because you just kind of park the cock there for a little bit, you know?
Nah, he doesn't take it that far because he has to stick with the procreation thing and all that.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. So no.
That is always my big thing. When people start talking about, homosexuality is wrong because you're not going to create kids. And it's like, okay, every blow job, hand job, you know, titty fucking, anything that you've ever done was
anal
a sin
sex.
Then.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So it's shut it. Quit being a hypocrite.
Excuse me, I need some water.
Every giant load that is dripping off her face and nose, that's a sin because those are little kids that aren't going to be made.
That's not a sin. Yeah. Huge thanks should be given to you for that. I hate to get into conversations with people about abortions and when's life start and things like that. Nothing good ever comes from it.
No, especially if it's someone that is close to you that you actually find dear.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, wow, right now I love you and I respect you, but right now I just feel like you're a moron. And it makes me sad.
Yeah. My sister is politically 180 degrees away from me, but even she's smart enough to know her body's her body, and she really doesn't want anybody fucking with it but her.
Exactly.
And, you know, so I'm grateful for that, but I stay away from political discussions with her because she's really one step away from being Sarah Palin to me. And that scares me. because she is a bucket of brains. My sister is one of the smartest people I know.
She's not like Sarah Palin.
You know, yeah, well, I mean, I'm just talking as far as her political views go, you know. It's, I guess it's a bad comparison.
Yeah.
You know, because she is a bucket of brains, but she really has some, she's so conservative. I just can't believe it.
My brother is too. He is a Republican, but for him, it is all the fiscal stuff.
Yeah, well,
socially, he and I are on the same page, you know, let gays marry, let people have, you know, a say in their lives. Good Lord. But when then it gets to the other stuff, we are not alike at all.
Yeah. Her son, my nephew, came out last year and she was totally cool with it, you know, which I was glad to see. You know, of course, when he was wearing his grandmother's high heels at the house at age five, you know, I was kind of looking over at, you know, my brother-in-law, and he just kind of looked at me like, yeah, I know. You know, I know we can't tell her.
There is nothing that makes me feel worse right now, and when you're reading the news, is when these teenagers are coming out to their very, very Christian conservative families and then getting kicked out of the house.
Yeah.
Honestly, the helplessness and just the rage / sorrow I feel for these kids.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, there's nothing I can do for them. It's just, you know, I don't even know. But how dare you? If you brought this child into the world, then you need to be prepared for them to not be like you in any way, and you still need to love them unconditionally.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, sex is a 10-minute adventure most of the time. You know, it's like, who gives a shit?
Right.
If the rest of the day there was some person that makes them fucking happy and gets them through the day, and both of them are good with it, who cares?
I know.
I don't care. I just never have. Even before I was educated on all this or even knew what homosexuals were, you know, it's like we had two guys that lived next door and I'm like, they sure are together a lot, Dad. And he just would shake his head. But my mom would always just, you know, lean down and go, she goes, they're happy living together.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I used to ask them stupid questions like, you know, did y'all's wives die? Is that why you hang out together and stuff like that? And they just kind of smile and go, yeah, something like that, you know?
And, you know, though, when a child asks you any question like that or of any kind, though, you know, you have to just kind of laugh because you know that it is innocence that's asking that question, not judgment.
Yeah, it's when I turned 17, I was like, God, I had no idea you guys were sucking each other's dicks. That's crazy.
What does it taste like?
Yeah, well, why? Why are you doing this?
Did you really say that to them?
Yeah.
And did they answer you?
And yeah, they did. That's one of the ways I got informed. You know, they just said, hey, I didn't have a choice. That's what I desired.
Now, question with, okay, you growing up, childhood, you being a boy child with them, at any point, did any of them molest you?
No. You know,
there you go.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people would have you believe gays are out there to just take your children and touch them.
We'd sit on the porch and we had a lake behind us, so we'd you know, throw lines in the water with live bait and just sit there and talk till somebody caught a fish, and
you take your shirt off,
and I and did push-ups for them and stuff like that. You know, yeah, they just said. Yeah, they said that I'd be a much better tennis player if I was in better shape, so you should do some push-ups and, you know, maybe some sit-ups, and they'd hold my feet and stuff like that. It was very nice.
See?
Yeah.
Very giving.
Yeah. But never at any of those times did the gay thing come up.
No.
Yeah. You know, it's, you know, when they were telling me how to fish and standing behind me and casting all the time, you know, it's like, it was nothing weird at all.
No.
No, but seriously, they were totally, never approached me on that or never made me feel uncomfortable or, you know, they're just two guys in their 60s. You know, they'd been together, one of them died, and we went to the funeral, and they had been together for 36 years.
Aw. And see, and that makes me mad, because I assume probably at that time, too, then, because that still wasn't discussed and all that, you know.
Yeah.
He wasn't allowed the decency of grieving that anyone else would get for their partner, spouse,
right.
Boyfriend, girlfriend of 36 years.
Right.
Did you see there was just a news story this past week about those two old women who had been together 70 years? They're both in their 90s.
Wow.
And they just got married. And it's like, wow. You put that time together. You know what? They're deserving of it. Good Lord. Spend that time with anyone, whether it's your best friend, your lover, your sibling, whoever, to spend 70 years with someone and not kill them. High five.
Yeah. I don't see how anybody can spend that kind of time together without souring to a degree.
Yes.
I really don't. But it happens.
Back a few years ago, I was, for a few months, I went through this phase where I killed a couple elderly women. I was being a caregiver, and one passed away, and after a search, I found like another. It was an elderly couple, and then she passed away within 2 months. So it was like there was a month in between where I feel that possibly I might have been the one that killed them both. But the old couple, they were adorable. Their names were Frank and Joanne, and they were both in their 90s. And he was just as deaf could be, but they would in the afternoon watch their tigers. So I'd have to get the TV ready for him so we could watch the tigers and everything. And he would start talking. And he, I guess, assumed that we were listening. And I would listen because, you know, but she obviously was not. She's trying to watch the game. And they were just this really sweet couple. You know, like just your adorable little old lady, little old man. And he's just chattering away one day about the game, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, she just goes, "Shut up, Frank!" Just like out of nowhere. And I actually left the room because I started laughing and I did not want to laugh at the two of them. But it was like, all right, there you go. Even after, I'm sure, 60-some years, sometimes you just have to tell the other one to shut up. You know?
Yep.
It was absolutely just the cutest thing. Of course, she died shortly after, so.
Of course.
You know.
Of course. So, other things going on. There's all kinds of different things. But Joan Rivers, of course, passed away a couple of weeks back.
And, very sad.
And one of the stories that goes with her is the story about her and Johnny Carson. And how she was being groomed to be the successor for Johnny, but ended up getting her own show on Fox before he retired because he showed no signs of slowing down at all. And she got an offer to host a show on Fox when they were coming along as a network. She took it, and he never spoke to her again.
She was able to confirm that he had a giant cock, though.
Yeah. I don't remember how, but yeah. I don't know if he banged her or not.
She said they did one night.
Yeah. So that definitely took place, and Johnny never had her back on the show again. Jimmy Fallon did before she died. which was
cool. I know, and I'm glad that happened.
Yeah. But The Tonight Show has so many interesting anecdotes and stories that comes with it. But I saw a headline the last couple days that really blew me away, because I just had no idea that the show, A, was around for that long, and that she was that old. But Barbara Streisand is back on The Tonight Show in 50 years.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow. She's in her 70s. I think she's early 70s, isn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah, and looks amazing for that age.
I know. She's one that definitely her I'm assuming she's paid for some of that, but I'm sure some of it's genetics too.
Yeah, I mean, she at times can be an extremely beautiful woman.
Yes.
Her eyes are, even at this age, just blue and bright as can be.
Her and Ellen Barkin kind of have that same, the same eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think they're very sexy.
Uh-huh. And Ellen Barkin is not a pretty woman.
Oh, my God. She's just hot, though.
But there's something about her that's just ridiculously hot. You're right.
She is sexy.
She is.
Smoldering, I guess.
Uh-huh. You know, just like... somebody I thought was extremely sexy that nobody else did, or at least I didn't think they did until I had conversations with them about it. Terry Garr.
See, for me, and this is a difference in our ages, and also, you know, because I'm a chick, but she always was just a mom to me.
Oh, God. In Mr. Mom, I wanted to fuck her so bad. She just had a way about her. She has these cute little faces she makes, and
yes,
and her cadence and her voice is just so cute.
What about Beverly D'Angelo?
Same thing, same vibe.
See, for me, again, she was always the mom. And I remember one of my first boyfriends, he and I were talking. This would have been like, you know, when I was in my early 20s. And he made some comment. And this was the first time, actually, I became aware that, like, guys might actually dig older chicks. My boyfriend was just hot for her.
Yeah.
It was just like, you know, and she's much older than him. And he was just like, oh, my God, that's why I watch the vacation movies, you know.
You know who... did it for me and still does do it for me is Gwyneth Paltrow's mother.
Blythe Danner.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Man, when she was younger, she was on a show called Adam's Rib. And that's the first time I saw her. I'm guessing I was 13, 14 maybe. And I never missed that show. I couldn't tell you any of the content of it or what it was really about or anything like that. All I can tell you is that every Friday night I was in front of the TV to see her.
I believe you might be the first man I have ever heard speak of Gwyneth Paltrow's mom in a sexual way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But she.
But I could see, like, where she, you know, very much pretty.
She's pretty. She is intelligent. She has this raspy voice. This real raspy kind of. But not dude raspy, you know, like
Suzanne Plachette or Demi Moore.
Yeah, that type of sound to it. It has some. It has some resonance to it. And she was in a movie called The Great Santini. And I watch that movie all the time. If it comes on or if it's on HBO or whatever the case is, it usually is. Oh, my God. I so love her.
What about Sally Field?
A friend of mine ruined Sally Field for me.
Oh.
He made a movie He actually wrote and produced the movie called 2 Weeks. And I think Mark Ruffalo's in the movie and her. But it's a story about his own mom and her last couple weeks on Earth. And Sally Field played the mom in it. And he said that from beginning to end, when the hiring process or casting process took place till the end of the movie, she was nothing short of a giant pain in the ass.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah. Totally too bad.
Diva or way too involved?
A little bit of both.
Gotcha.
A little bit of both. Control freak diva.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Because she wonderfully comes across as like a chick that you'd want to hang out with.
Oh, God. When she was Gidget and Norma Rae and, you know, the Flying Nun and all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, just when she was younger, she was so fucking cute. She really was. And when she got a little more meat to her actress-wise and started playing pretty intense parts, she became even more attractive, like the Norma Rae years.
Right.
And I'd always, from afar, you know, loved her. You know, loved her, Forrest Gump's mother.
Steel Magnolias.
Steel Magnolias, all that stuff. I mean, really, chose really good parts for herself, and I had mucho respect, and then he ruined it for me.
Well, I am sorry.
Yeah, me too.
It kind of ruins it for me a little bit, yeah. Too.
But you brought up Suzanne Pleshette. She was fucking amazing. She really was.
There was an episode of Drew Carey. Where Oswald got boobs. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
He got the boob job. And, you know, I'd like to know how they did that on the show because they were very realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And he had done it because he was going to get like $20,000 for like doing this test or whatever.
Yeah.
And his mom, who was Suzanne Pleshette, was about to lose her beauty shop. And so he was doing this to save her beauty shop.
Right.
And at the end of that show, when he gives her the check, but has not mentioned, you know, he hasn't mentioned his chest, which is very, you know, ample, and gives her the check for $20,000. And Suzanne Pleshette looks at him and goes, "Oh, honey, you keep your booby money." I was like, God, I love you both so much.
Oh, honey.
I think she died shortly after that.
Yeah.
I think that was like one of her last appearances on anything.
And she had a great voice and was just a hottie. So, yeah, one of my little kid dreams right there, Suzanne Pleshette. There's new chicks on the scene, though, that I have the hots for that are probably in their mid-30s, like Kristen Wiig, I can't get enough of.
Oh, she's funny.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Yeah. She has that dry, sarcastic wit about her.
And it's also with her voice, and especially because she'll start talking, and it's like this little weird short like voice thing that she does, and she only does it sometimes. And I think she's very adorable when she talks like that.
Yeah. I mean, the scenes in Bridesmaids with John Hamm, you know, were just fucking awesome.
He's playing with her boobs.
Yeah.
He played douche perfectly.
Oh, man, he was so good. I can't remember what the line was, but there was one line I did a spit take on. It was...
Well, when he pulled up, when she and adorable little, what's-his-face, the cop...
Yeah.
We're standing there, and he pulls up and goes, "Hey, wanna fuck?"
Yeah.
And the little cop guy, who was adorable. Yeah, I had such a crush on him.
He goes
oh, my God.
He goes, "Oh, my God." He'd had just about enough of her.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she is, she says she's game to be in Ghostbusters 3. I guess she would be the new Sigourney Weaver.
Well, aren't they, though, making it now where three chicks, because Harold Ramis had to go die and ruin this and everything?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the deal. And she says she's game for that. So I hope they do that, because I think it would be great.
You know, I am all for, and it makes me mad, and I know that I'm now going to be one of those chicks. There are so few women that I find funny. Mm-hmm. And I wish that I found more women funny. And I try. And I was so happy with Bridesmaids, because I watched it thinking this isn't going to be funny. And it had me laughing out loud. And I was so proud of them for making this movie and everything.
And I was proud that they found chicks like Rose Byrne, who I didn't think had a humorous bone in her body. She was fucking amazing.
Yes.
You know, she really was, and I think she's so fucking hot, but after seeing her in Damages and some of the shows she was in, you know, where everything was just so intense, I was just like, okay, this is going to be interesting. She did not disappoint at all.
I know, and it was just great, but then I hear, like, okay, they're going to do Ghostbusters, and if they do it, like, with an all-female cast, and Melissa McCarthy's in it and stuff, it makes me really anxious. Because I'm afraid now that they're going to fall on their faces, and I'm going to feel even worse than if they hadn't made Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Melissa McCarthy's wearing on me. She scares me a little bit. You know, that there's too much of her going on. I don't mean that in a fat sense.
We are oversaturating on her right now.
I'm a little... one trick ponied out with her, you know, so I hope.
Agreed. I mean, unfortunately, she's almost now going to have to be the chick from Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
Which she did very well, and God bless her and her husband, you know, those were just great. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either.
And see, and I have such a huge, giant girl crush on Tina Fey.
Oh, my. Are you kidding me? That is my girl.
And you know what? I always think back to the Rob Schneider movie where he was the what was it? The gigolo.
Ladies man.
Whatever it was.
No, the other guy was a ladies man. It was,
he takes her to the ball game, and she's just, because she's got Tourette's, and she's just sitting there screaming, vulva! You know?
Yeah.
And it was like, that was before she was hot and people knew who she was, but it's like, that's Tina Fey screaming obscenities, you know.
She was awesome in Mean Girls. And
I have never seen that movie, and I need to.
And she made everybody else awesome in it, you know, because you could tell she wrote it. I mean, from beginning to end, it's got her humor all over it. But her directing Lindsay Lohan... and constructing comedy that was suitable for her was genius. She really did a great job on that movie. I can watch that movie anytime, any place. It's that good, and it's not directed towards me at all.
Right. And that, you know what, when you can do that
with
any, you know, like that's me sitting down and watching a basketball movie.
Yeah.
You know, if it holds my attention, then you know what, they did a good job. Because otherwise, I really could give a crap, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I knew Hoosiers was a good movie when Sandy was completely riveted to it. You know.
Yeah, and I've always had a really weird thing for Dennis Hopper.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you? Yeah,
I don't know. It's like I shouldn't, but I've always just kind of really dug him.
Yeah, he's a. The thing I used to admire about Dennis Hopper and the things I took from him as far as my own life went was he didn't give a fuck.
Right.
As far as parts he took, as far as his career, and you know, you could tell he never thought about stuff like that. He just took parts that interested him. And at one point he went like 18 years without acting.
Really?
You know, after like Easy Rider, yeah, he didn't do like a big movie part for like 18 years. He did stuff here and there, but he came back and got a taste of a good script and a good movie, and then you couldn't get rid of him. But he got soured on it for a little while.
Well, I didn't know that. So good for him for, yeah, you know, coming back and still being able to do it. Because a lot of people, once you leave, you don't come back, you know.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think of actors that went away for a little bit and then kind of came back.
John Travolta.
John Travolta was one.
Did it like twice, I think, didn't he?
James Garner did it for a while. Went away.
See, he was a guy way beyond like my time who I always just thought was hot.
Mm-hmm.
I love James Garner.
Yeah. I wanted to be James Garner when I was a kid. I wanted to be James Garner. I wanted to be Paul Newman. I wanted to be that type of guy. Sean Connery.
What about Robert Redford before he got in the sun?
No. There's something about him that bothers me. He's like smug. He strikes me as a guy that if you like came up to a table at a restaurant and everybody said, "Hey, sit down," that if he didn't like you in the first 2 minutes, there'd be huge amounts of tension at the table, and I would have to get up and leave to make sure everybody had a good time.
See, he strikes me as someone who is very humorless in his old age.
Yeah. Yeah.
That movie is, it just like made it, you know, like so you can watch it now on Roku, and it's like, oh, I said to my husband, I said, I do not want to watch an hour and 35 minutes of Robert Redford on a boat. I don't want to do it. No. I do not want to do it.
No, I'll never get that hour 35 back. Fuck that.
But see, The Natural, now that's a sports movie.
Great
that
movie.
I absolutely
movie.
Adore.
But he basically plays himself in it. You know, he's like kind of a smug, keep to himself asshole in that movie.
Right.
You know, so no problem. He probably didn't even write a script for that. He just said, I got this.
Okay.
I'll treat people like shit and hit a baseball. Done.
What about Ally McGraw? See, I think when she was young, I think she was just one of the most beautiful women in the world. When she was like going through her hippie long hair stage.
Oh yeah. But
oh my god.
It's like she was like one movie and out to me. So, love story and see you later.
Oh, don't forget she was in A Convoy.
Oh yeah.
Short curly hair.
And that campy line in that movie, love means never having to say you're sorry.
Rubber ducky.
It's like, look, we're in college and we fucked a bunch of times, okay? And now I have cancer. So that's what I'm sorry about, is I learned how to fuck and you're hot. And I was just thinking about all the other chicks I want to bang on this campus, and now I can't.
Because I'll be the bastard.
Because I'm going to be dead, you see.
Was that Ryan O'Neal or was that Robert Redford?
Ryan O'Neal.
Okay, Robert Redford was in the Cry movie with Barbara Streisand, right?
Which one are you referring to?
I don't know.
I mean, he's been in a...
What was the one where she sang Memories?
Oh, The Way We Were, yeah.
Is that a crime movie?
That's the movie. Yeah, it's a total crime movie.
All right.
Yeah.
I get those two confused. That one with the Ryan O'Neal, Ally McGraw movie.
Yeah. I mean, he's just one of those guys that I just don't gravitate to. I just don't. Like, you know, even in The Horse Whisperer, you know, which I watched with my daughter, and it was a very special movie to watch with her because she loves it so much.
You should read the book and see how he ruined it. They changed the ending.
Yeah, she said that. She actually read the book and said, The book
was beyond tragic. The book was like, when I was done, I threw it across the room sobbing and then watched the movie and was like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Ugh, whatever. You know?
Yeah. You fuckheads. But he was in some great movies and some great TV shows. I mean, he's done a lot of great stuff. I'm trying to look at everything he's been in. Butch Cassidy, of course. Downhill.
God, could there be like two more beautiful men in that movie?
Yeah.
That movie, even if you don't pay, you could just turn the sound down and not pay attention, and it's like the gorgeous godlikeness of the two men on screen is just not fair.
Yeah,
I'd still take Paul Newman.
And every guy wants to be both of them.
Yes.
And every chick wants both of them. But
it's not fair.
But Paul Newman is like my idol.
You know, even at 80, he was still fuckable.
Yeah. Yeah, most of those guys are.
It's like, holy crap, you're just a beautiful... You know, when he was young, if you look at his profile, it's like he was chiseled in marble.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find him in some, like, tomb in ancient Greece or something. You know, he's just, God, beautiful.
And there was so much more to him than that. Yeah, this guy had a conscience, had drive, ambition, compassion, you know, had a beautiful...
Was with the same woman for how many years?
Yeah.
And, you know, there was... I mean, I don't remember. Was there ever any rumors of scandal that, like...
Never.
That, you know... And I will say that to anyone. When you look, for instance, has there ever been a rumor that Brad Pitt's gay?
No.
I've never heard anyone say it. So when you hear that someone is
but
gay...
How could you? Look who he's with.
Well,
you know, it's like, you know, she'd be so gone if he was.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think she'd be like, I don't know.
No, trust me.
She sucked the life out of him. He aged more in the years that she's been with her than he has any other time.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't get me started on my deep-seated hatred for Angelina Jolie.
No, I want to get back to that in a second.
No.
Yeah, I do. he was in All the President's Men, great movie. A Bridge Too Far, great movie. Legal Eagles was terrible.
Deborah Winger?
Yeah, Deborah Winger.
What about her for you?
I always wanted to fuck Deborah Winger, especially after
she went away.
Especially after An Officer and a Gentleman.
I have no place to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a horrible movie. It went, you know, mayonnaise.
Oh, but Richard Gere is another one. Even he's, you know, he's aging, like, even with his white hair now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're still fuckable. What the hell?
Yeah, no, he still looks good, the dickhead.
You know what it is? It's that big nose of his.
Is it?
I think, I have a thing, like Scott Bakula has the same nose.
Oh, God, Scott.
It's just that big, beautiful, straight nose. I love Adrian Brody because of his giant schnoz.
Adrian Brody's just cool.
Oh, God, that nose is beautiful. I love it.
I didn't really notice his nose. I just noticed that chicks love him and he's cool and I hate him for it.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, beautiful nose.
Ugh. Lousy pilot.
I don't think he was actually flying.
I know.
He just was.
Shitty passenger.
Yes.
How's that?
Yes.
All right. So let's get back to Angelina. So here's my view of Angelina. I think she had this twisted, fucked up childhood with John Voight as her father, who strikes me as a guy that can't consume enough attention and adoration from people. So during her childhood, he pretty much sucked up all the adoration that was around him and his family and took it all. And she resented him for it. And in the end, when she got old enough to have her own brain thoughts, all that stuff, she decided she didn't want anything to do with him. And by that time, she was an adult, beautiful, connected, you know, could mold like clay woman that you can turn into a beautiful actress and send her on her way. And I think there was so much God-given talent in her that you just couldn't get away from it. She was just loaded with talent, and whatever you put her in, she was going to be great because it's just in the DNA. And she took every part her father didn't want her to take. Like, you know, Girl Interrupted, from what I understand, he was like, that'd be a horrible part for you, which all she heard was, I'm doing it.
Which she stole the movie. You know, that was supposed to be Winona Ryder's big comeback.
Yeah.
Or big, you know, a chance at an Academy Award or whatever. And it's like, you forget that Winona was even in the movie.
You do. She got interrupted.
I believe that Angelina, and I do agree. So let's keep your, like, childhood idea there where she, you know, had that father. I also believe, though, that she was never told no. I believe that she has never been reined in and has been, you know, told that there are boundaries and such. And as a result, that's why, you know, married men or men who are very connected to another female are very, very attractive to her. You know, Billy Bob was engaged to Laura Dern when she decided she needed a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know what happened with Brad Pitt. There have been articles written about the fact that she does not, for the huge star that she is, she does not have a PR person. She doesn't have a publicist. So everything that you hear about Angelina Jolie that is reported to the news, that is coming directly from her. It's not coming from the agency she pays. And that, likewise, back when, you know, they were making their movie, where he was still married to Jennifer Aniston, and like the paparazzi were alerted that she and Brad were taking a walk with whatever kids she had then, you know, at the beach. She was the one who alerted the paparazzi. She was totally manipulating the media with everything that was happening. And I think that from that regard, it was handled terribly. She's fucking a married guy, and so let's get it out there in the media. I take that, and not, trust me, I'm not an I'm a Jennifer Aniston fan. I'm not Team Aniston or anything, but I just thought it was like a very shitty thing to do. Yeah. I think she's a shitty person, and she has not aged well. She was hot 10 years ago. I will say that she was probably the most beautiful woman on the planet 10 years ago. She looks like olive oil now. She could be in Popeye.
All right. That's enough, young lady. We're out of time. I know. You kill it, Stacey, every time. I love it. I you should never tell me that, and don't get me started, because you're going to start. And that's just the way it is. I want to thank you, my dear, for joining me in the Threesome Podcast. I want to thank my showmates, Terry James, D, Ian, Sarah, all the hard work they put into their shows, which are Terry James Alive, the James Gang, which is, I don't know if you've heard the show yet, Stacey. Terry does it with his nephew and his older brother. It's
Jackson?
It's Jackson, yeah. It's three generations of their family, and it's hilarious.
Cool.
It's very real and very very cool, you know, because Thad is Jackson's son, Terry's nephew, and Jackson, of course, Terry's older brother. It's a good show. Really is. Also, D's Under the Shade Tree. D can knock it out of the park. Whenever he wants to. His takes on stuff are just absolutely great, and I love under the shade tree. It moves at a really nice pace, and Dee's a brother, so you know you get perspective of what it's like from a man who spent most of his adult career in a white man's world, and has succeeded very well in it. I love listening to that show because there's so much of that there. And he still is doing his best to educate Whitey any chance he gets. And I love the show for that. Ian Gleason show, great show. I've only heard one episode of it. I keep missing it. But it is basically Ian's take from his acting career, which he was a theater actor. He's been on a few TV commercials and stuff like that. And just the struggle of going through that and the relationships that he's made during it, it is just a pretty cool show to listen to. Then there's Sarah B., my girl Sarah, who is our phone screener and, of course, has a regular role on the show. In any subject matter we have, and she is just a 25-year-old mess, and her show is completely real. Sarah's got a lot of little girl in her. She really does, and which
would be creepy if you said that about a guy.
That's right, but it's not, so just work with me here. She is she's authentic, and I thought, I'll be honest, I thought her show was going to suck. She was scared about doing it. She was dreading it. I really thought we were going to have to coach her and help her along. And she has just dove in, and it's one of my favorite podcasts.
Good for her.
It's done on a completely fearless level, and it's great. It really is.
Girl power.
Yeah. You know, am I missing anybody here? I think not.
Potluck.
There's Potluck, which right now is Gunner and Chow on it, which are getting ready to become a regular member of the cast here. And we're going to throw somebody new on Potluck. Or until we find somebody that does it for us, we're asking listeners to send in their stuff to see if we can find somebody that's got the chops to do it. It's good to know that Potluck is being filled up by Terry and his wife's iPhone wars, which I found extremely entertaining the last time I listened to it. It's basically just them playing shit to top each other. And it's just funny. It's just funny to hear the interaction between people that have been married so long, for one thing, and a big dose of their musical upbringing to fight with each other. It has really no concept to it whatsoever other than that, and it's great.
Sometimes it is very fun to listen to a married couple fight.
It is. It is. Or banter, or whatever the case is. Then we have the Legend Cast, which is my show, my music show, and I usually try to do something cool on that. To make people interested. I've done shows about Rick Rubin. That was a two-parter because he's done so much. I've done All Chicks. I did last week, which was a crazy good time, and I could probably do about 3 or 4 weeks worth of shows on that alone. But
if I die in a terrible, untimely death, would you do a Pink Floyd show?
I will.
All right.
I will, and I'll do an entire podcast about you.
Well, good luck.
I'll do songs that Stacy would like, but she can't.
Because she's dead.
Yeah, she's dead. And then, of course, our wonderful Threesome podcast, which comes to an end right now. I don't need to tell you about that because you just heard it. So thank you so much for listening. I want to thank Drew Hillis and DBC for making it possible. And with that, goodbye, Stacy.
Bye, Lucky Boo.
Lex and Stacy's threesome. Lex and Stacy's threesome.